It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Good afternoon. It is Monday and it is noon, so it is time for Monday's edition of Ask the Expert. This is Rachel Erickson here hosting the show today. Charlie Cochran is unavailable at the moment. He is taking care of some other obligations he needs to take care of, so you will have me today. And if you want to call in with any sort of legal question, we give you free legal advice here on Mondays from noon to 12:30, and you can call down at the station. You can ask the question either on the air, or you can just let the producer know what the question is and we can answer it on the air. Either way, so you can call us at 707-636-1350, and we will answer your questions. Now, in the meantime, as usual, I have a topic that I wanted to talk about today, and you can call on that topic or any other topic. It doesn't have to be on the topic that I'm discussing today if you want to call and ask a question at 636-1350. So today I wanted to talk about bullying and sexual harassment at school. It is a lot more common than I think most people think it is. And I'm really grateful and happy to say that the culture of silence around these kinds of abuses and harassment that happen at school, that culture of silence is changing. We are now coming into an era where you not only can you complain, for lack of a better term at the moment, to others, but you're kind of expected to let people know if you're being harassed, or either sexually or if you're being bullied for whatever reason. Today, I'm mostly going to be addressing gender-based bullying, because that seems to be the most frequent kind that you get. And that can be male or female. It can be student on student. It can be teacher against a student. Any kind of bullying or sexually based discrimination in the school setting. Now, these types of cases, when you go to a lawyer to talk about these kinds of cases, one of the decisions you need to make is whether you want to bring this case in federal court or in state court. And either way, you have a host of laws, both federal laws and state laws, that are out there to protect students and to try to enforce and encourage an environment of learning and fostering that learning environment rather than being distracted from the school setting and into this other world where you can't concentrate and your education fails because you're too worked up about something else. And I want to make it clear that the laws in these areas are changing some. So we're going to see a continuing change in the law surrounding school harassment, school bullying, discrimination, and with the LGBTQ issues coming more to the forefront of people's consciousness, we're going to be seeing a lot more legislation and case law that supports an equal environment, learning environment. So we have a question from Karen in Sebastopol, and she wants to know what her legal rights as a widow in common law are. So, Karen, what is your question?
Well, my husband passed away a couple months ago, and I've been living with him for 29 years in March, and we lived together and everything. And I got married in Tijuana, and it was stamped with the stamp, and plus they filed it in Tijuana. That was almost 29 years ago. So when I went up to get his Social Security, the widow paid, they said I'm not entitled to it because I never got married in the United States.
And that's
because I was with him for 29 years, so am I entitled to being a common law wife?
Well, here is What I would say to that, I'm not a family law certified specialist, which is somebody that actually has taken exams and peer review in the family law arena. And there are some family law specialists that are certified in Sonoma County. But I can what I can tell you is that, first of all, California does not have a common law spouse law. We do not recognize common law marriages in California. Other states do, but California does not. So you would not be a common law spouse. Now, what you might be able to do, what I would argue if I were in your situation, is I would say that you are what we call a putative spouse, which means you were treated as a spouse, you acted as a spouse, you held yourselves out as being married, and there are certain ways that you can go about saying that you are a putative spouse. And if you have the right kind of a lawyer, they may be able to put that argument out there for Social Security purposes. And also Social Security.
Well, also, I got my name on the death certificate as his wife.
Well, that's interesting that Social Security would deny you, because Social Security has a lot of loopholes too. So,
yeah.
So I'm trying to think. Well, first of all, I would go see a family law attorney about this. The thing is, a lot of times, family law, like most lawyers, will give you a free consultation. A lot of times, family lawyers do not. So if you're, you know, light on funding, that might make it a little difficult for you to find the right attorney in the family law arena. Okay. You can check with Sonoma County Legal Aid, Legal Aid of Sonoma County. They do some free consultations in the family law arena. Usually it's going to be a custody dispute, but you might give them a call. I don't have their number handy, but you can look them up online, and they give you some free legal advice. If that doesn't work, if you hit a dead end there, then what I would say is there is also, through the Sonoma County Bar Association, there is a lawyer referral service. And if you call the lawyer referral service, they can refer you to a lower cost attorney so that you're not paying full price for that. So I would say go ahead and do a little bit of legwork, looking around. Think of the concept of a putative spouse. You might want to Google that too, and have a little look at that, because I think you could probably put yourself out there as being his putative spouse. And you were married.
Yeah, we lived together. We paid. We lived in the same house all these years. Paid the PG&E, everything, you know, the same year, and all this. Our bank accounts got both our names on it.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
And then I went up there, and they said that it doesn't recognize in the city of Sebastopol, California, that it wasn't legal.
Well, go and check with Sonoma County Legal Aid, see what they can do for you. And if that doesn't work, check with the Sonoma County Bar Association.
Well, thank you so much. You answered my question.
Okay. Well, have a great day. Nice to talk to you. And thank you, Karen. Good luck to you. Okay. We have another question. We have Stan from Santa Rosa regarding liability about serving alcohol. Stan, what is your question?
Well, in a restaurant environment, for example, if a customer decides they want 4 to 6 drinks and don't have anything to eat, and seems to be reasonable, not causing a problem.
Yes.
If the restaurant goes out and runs over a nun in the crosswalk, am I liable?
Are you the restaurateur?
A service person.
Okay, so if you're the bartender and you're concerned because you know that somebody's consumed a fair amount of alcohol, they haven't eaten, you are not their mother, you are not their alcohol counselor, and you are not whoever else is going to cast judgment. Your job is to serve those people what they order, and to do it in a friendly and professional manner, depending on where you are, what that standard is. So you personally, as the server, have no liability unless you're serving somebody who is so obviously intoxicated. And even then, we have a lot of laws that are really hyper protective over bartenders and bars, because it's not the bar's duty to sit there and monitor everybody who's in the bar and say, you know, yeah, you can have another drink. No, you can't. That's not your job. Your job is to serve them what they order. So generally, no. The only way that you're going to have any liability is if you serve an obviously intoxicated minor. And I have actually gone to trial on one of those cases, and and it's a very high standard to prove that first of all, you're going to check the ID. I mean, if you're a reasonable bartender, you've got to check the ID. That's just a given. If you don't, then you might have some problems. But to get to that obviously intoxicated standard is very, very difficult. So,
I can see why. I mean, that's a subjective observation.
Exactly. So, I mean, you can kind of tell if somebody's fallen off the bar stool, you should probably stop serving them and call an Uber or a taxi or something. But you would not be liable as a general rule, no. You, as a bartender, would not.
I understand. Well, that's good information, and I appreciate your input.
You bet. Thank you so much, Stan, and have a good day, and definitely card those people that look young, and I know I'm not one of them, so you won't be carding me anytime soon, but that's okay. So thank you for your questions. It's always nice to have some interesting input from people out there, and I do get interesting questions throughout the week. I get phone calls, and I get emails from people with some pretty interesting questions, and I do my best to answer those questions and let people know if it's in a jurisdiction that, you know, doesn't make sense for me to deal with it. You know, like a couple weeks ago, Charlie and I said, you have to be really careful about how you present your case to a lawyer, because we're going to want to know what evidence you have and make sure that you're coming from a reasonable, practical standpoint, not just an emotional one. So those questions were both excellent questions, and thank you for giving those to me. So what we're going to do now is, I think it's probably before I leap back into the concept of talking about bullying and sexual harassment, gender discrimination and harassment, hostile environments at school, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back and we'll take more questions if you have them, and if not, we'll carry on with today's topic.
Hi, this is Scott Barbieri with Wine Spectrum in Santa Rosa. I recently had a personal injury case handled by Charlie Cochran and his legal team. Charlie and his team kept me informed of my case as it went through litigation. And most important, they return your phone calls. My case successfully settled without trial. If you've been involved in an auto accident, call Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson at 707-544-9006.
Call the legal team of Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison today. Country Summer, June 14th, 15th, and 16th at the Fairgrounds in Santa Rosa. Jake Owen headlines Friday. We were doing it right. Whoa. We were coming alive. Whoa. Yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. Tim McGraw Saturday.
And he said, someday I hope you get the chance.
And Old Dominion Sunday. Big acts over 3 days on the Chevy Silverado stage. Tickets on sale now at the Fairgrounds box office and countrysummer.com. Brought to you by Bay Area Chevy Dealers, Redwood Credit Union, Friedman's Home Improvement, Bud Light, United Airlines, Les Schwab Tires of Sonoma and Mendocino Counties, Kendall Jackson Wines, River Rock Casino, Sonoma Clean Power, and Jack Daniels. Live freely, drink responsibly. Here's a message from the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
Tick-borne diseases are preventable. Use an effective repellent and wear long pants and long-sleeve shirts when outdoors. Don't forget to check yourself, your family, and pets for ticks after outdoor activities.
Are you having a problem with rodents getting inside your home and don't know what to do? The Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District offers free advice and home inspections.
Go to msmosquito.com for more info. It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on Newstalk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Good afternoon, everybody. Rachel Erickson here today with you on Monday's edition of Ask the Expert. We've had a couple of questions this morning. That's always kind of fun. It kind of takes us out of our, you know, certain rhythm and ritual and gets us into some kind of interesting, just practical questions that day-to-day people might have. So feel free to call with any sort of legal question and I will answer it on the air. And if I can't answer it completely and fully, I will either refer you to where you need to go or research it and come back later. And speaking of which, I do want to put it out there that I do intend to address the abortion issue that has recently arisen in Alabama and other states as well. And but what I want to do is I want to make I've been waiting for it to kind of flush out a little bit before I addressed it on the show. But I do want to address that, and I do intend to address that next week and discuss how Roe versus Wade came down, what the decision was in that case, and why, and what it is that's going on now that's trying to, the way I term it is chip away. They're trying to chip away at a broad holding in Roe versus Wade. And so we'll discuss that next week. But today I wanted to address sexual harassment and bullying in the school systems because it is way more rampant than you would imagine. And there are a bunch of different kinds of studies that say different things. One of them says that in college, one in five women will be sexually harassed or sexually abused in their college years. So if you look around you, you've got five people within, you know, shouting distance probably. One in five of these ladies has, will be, or maybe hasn't or knows somebody who has been sexually harassed in the college place. Now, that's not the only place. And when I give you these kind of statistics about specifically about gender harassment, sexual harassment, you have to take into account that these are the reported cases. These are, so if one in five are reported in the college setting, you can pretty much guarantee that it's probably more like one in four, or even more than that. And personally, I don't know any female ever within, you know, a decade on either side of me at least. I guess I'm being hopeful that maybe the younger ones won't have to go through it as much as the rest of us, but every woman I know has been sexually harassed or abused at some point in time, even if it's just commentary. Most of the women I know have been touched inappropriately. So when the hashtag MeToo comes out there, for females, we all go, yeah, been there, done that, seen that. And males, if you haven't harassed somebody, you might look around and go, geez, every single woman has been harassed at some point. And then not just everyone I know. I've never met a woman that has not been harassed at some point or other. And when does this harassment start? It can start very, very young. And a lot of times it happens in the school place. And what one of the things that I would like to see happen in this next generation or so is I would like to see that harassment stop in the school place. And as I said earlier, this can be student-on-student harassment, which is a lot harder to stop than adult-on-student, which could be teacher, teacher's aide, principal, vice principal, nurse, staff of any sort, janitors, whatever, school personnel, people working at the school. Usually they're employed by the Office of Education, the County Board of Education, and so they are government employees, so you have to be careful when you're suing an entity. If you have a student that's been harassed at school and the school has not acted appropriately, you may bring a lawsuit either in federal court or in Sonoma County Superior Court if it's here. And you can go federal law, you can go state law, you can do a combination. If you're going to do federal law, you're going to end up in court, in the federal courthouse in San Francisco. And that is a fine courthouse to be in. It's a fine arena to litigate in. The rules The federal rules of civil procedure are very similar to the California civil rules, and there are certain demands that go along with that. And it's a, like I said, it's a fine arena to litigate in. We do occasionally. You can also go under state law. And this is one of those areas of the law that's very complicated and involves... it can involve the labor code, it can involve the education code, it involves the California Constitution, and it involves federal law. And one of the things that I think has been interesting is there is a woman whose name is Adele Kimmel who works with the Office of Public Justice. So if you want to know about public justice, you can look them up online. And what public justice is they're an outfit that is really trying, they're a civil rights outfit out of Washington, D.C. They have an office here in Oakland locally. That's the closest office they have here. And I've worked with Adele Kimmel a little bit over the years on these bullying projects. And what they are trying to do, and what they are helping other attorneys across the nation do, is address these creations of a hostile learning environment. You've heard us on the show. If you're a regular listener, you've heard us talk about the hostile work environment. We talk about, you know, employers cannot allow or create a hostile work environment. This applies also in the school setting. Students are entitled, and I, a lot of us don't like that word these days, but students are entitled to an education free from persecution, abuse, and harassment. And that is an entitlement both under federal law and under our state's constitution. So when you're dealing with federal law, what you're going to deal with a lot is Title IX. And you're going to want to wonder which schools are going to fall under these federal protections. And that is any school that actually receives any sort of federal funding at all. So a lot of our public schools, of course, get federal funding for all kinds of programs, sports programs, after school programs, during school programs, free lunch programs. Even private schools sometimes will receive funding for federal funding for sports programs or free lunch programs or those types of fundings. If the school in question receives any sort of funding at all from the federal government, then they will fall under Title IX of the U.S. Of the right. Anyway, so the other governing entity is the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights, or it's often referred to as OCR, the Office for Civil Rights. And you can put a complaint in about a school personnel that are not adhering to the standards of care that they need to adhere to in order to protect the children and protect their rights to a valid education. So, and you can do that as a consumer, as a regular person out there in the world. You can do that and put a complaint into the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. And they will investigate if the allegations warrant it. And that can, what they help with is they will help a school with changing their policies and procedures. So they tend to take a more broad brush stroke in trying to change the system rather than necessarily just one individual incident or a series of incidents, one particular student. So that is one of the ways that school systems do get changed, is they get these kind of complaints. So Title IX's prohibition against sex discrimination is pretty darn broad. So I'm going to tell you what it actually says. What it says is no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, or as we usually say, gender, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. So basically, we're trying to protect against a hostile education environment based on sex. And what that includes is sexual harassment, gender-based harassment, sexual violence. And sexual violence really means rape, sexual assault, sexual battery, and sexual coercion. And remember, we go back to assault is anticipating a harm. Battery requires an actual touching, so they are two separate. And they usually go together, but not always. So any of those types of things. And in the statistics that I gave you, you know, 1 in 5 in college, and then in the K through 12 zone, they say 10% are reported to having suffered some sort of sexual harassment. So there are roughly 600,000 cases of reported sexual harassment or sexual abuse going on in, there are 600,000 students that have experienced this and reported it according to one of the studies that is out there. So obviously, I've barely scratched the surface. We haven't gotten to state law. We can talk about this again. And it's a very important topic that everybody must be aware of. It is happening, whether you know it or not. If your child is exhibiting signs of depression, fear of certain classes, fear of certain students, these need to be reported to the teachers, to the principal, and once it's reported, the school has to act within a reasonable time and in a reasonable manner to stop this from happening. And what usually happens with the teacher situation is you might have one teacher that repeatedly does these things. And what I'm seeing out there in the community is that the schools are not removing these perpetrators. Instead, they move the student to another class in order to stop it from happening again. That, in my mind, is not reasonable, though some people think it is. So this is a rampant issue. We're going to talk about it more, but I did promise you that we would also talk about the abortion laws and how those are changing and the states trying to change their laws in contravention of Roe versus Wade. So this has been Monday's edition of Ask the Expert. You can call us at the law office at 544-9006, and we'll talk to you next Monday.